Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, you're welcome to participate with this show, no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL, Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. At that website, we have over 1,000 hours of amazing conversations with today's great thinkers and communicators, and we have killer seminars and ideas, feedback shows. Everything is 100% free. We don't even ask you for your email address. The only thing I ask is that you share. We've had some incredible guests, including our guest today, Victoria Moran. She's been on before. If Victoria is going to say something that informs you, she's going to say something that inspires you, that empowers you. Don't just keep that to yourself. As soon as you're done having that nice feeling, like, wow, that Victoria, she really said some wonderful things. Make sure you tell somebody, share links to websites, share empowering information. You know, you get 100 emails a day, right? And people are sharing silly things, funny things, some these days political things. Share empowerment, share information. You know, it's a beautiful thing that happens when we recognize that even though we take different roads, we're all on the same journey. And when we can empower and inspire each other, something beautiful happens. It happens, and you get into this flow and into this sink of empowerment. So share this information, and thank you so much. And again, the website is empoweredlivingradio.com. I want to say what up to all the people out there living that power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Do not tell me. Please stop telling me about your beliefs. Stop telling me about your gods. Stop telling me about these things with your words. And show me about your beliefs. Show me about your gods with your actions. Get out there and participate. The success, love, peace, these aren't things you have. Haven't you learned that yet? These aren't things you have. They are things you experience when you live accordingly. They are not something you have. There's something you do. Get out there and participate, not only in your own journey, but in the journey of those around you. The power of one, one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Don't ever, 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 ever stop. Don't ever stop. Folks, I want to get to the show. I love Victoria Moran. She's been a Main Street vegan for almost 30 years and is a best-selling author of 11 books, including Creating a Charmed Life. That's a book's been in 30 languages around the world. She's been on the show before. She's a listener favorite. Super excited to have her back. Her new book is Main Street Vegan. Excited to talk about veganism. Victoria Moran, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you on, and look at you informing the world about veganism. Now, I was reading in your bio how you had actually written about this in 85?
Yeah, it was my college thesis. I was given a fellowship to do foreign study, so I went to the UK to study vegans, because at that time, there were some vegans sprinkled about the United States, but so few that it would be a lot of traveling to find them. But in England and Scotland and Northern Ireland, it was not so bad. You could just do a little bit of traveling. Yeah, and I wrote that book, Compassion, the Ultimate Ethic, did not know it was going to be a book. For all your listeners that are into the motivation and how things happen in life, that wasn't supposed to be a book. That was a paper I had to write for school. But it turned out to be my first book, first of 11, and gave me this life.
That's really amazing how you come back to it. What inspired you to revisit this and write a book that's really getting the attention of a whole lot of people, this book? It's down to earth. It's got great ideas in it. It's a great story. What inspired you to bring it back to veganism?
Well, I've been a vegan all this time, raised my daughter vegan. She actually helped with this book. And she's all grown up now. She's married. She works as an actor and a stunt performer. And she's held on to the vegan diet and lifestyle. And I wrote a book called The Love Powered Diet, which is mostly about interchange for people with food addiction and weight issues. But the food part of it is the way I eat. It's a plant-based diet. And so I've kind of referred to it over the years in some of my other books, but I felt that I had done enough way back when on this particular topic. I'd said what I had to say. But now, as it's becoming so much more popular, and I'm coming at it from kind of an elder statesman place, because even though there are lots and lots and lots of vegans and partial vegans out there, there are very few who have been at it for this long. So I thought I had something to share that people could use, and the response to the book implies that that was right.
Is there a ton of information, a ton of new information that wasn't available back in the mid-80s?
There's lots of information in terms of scientific data supporting a plant-based diet. Back in the 80s, we were mostly coming from a defensive point of view of you really can get enough protein. Yes, you can get enough calcium. Your bones won't rot. And now it's the other way. It's so many studies showing that eating a plant-based diet cannot just prevent coronary heart disease, but actually reverse it, cannot just prevent type 2 diabetes, but can actually reverse it. There's interesting work on everything from Alzheimer's to inflammatory diseases to autoimmune diseases, that it really seems like a very, very healthy plan for individuals plus for the planet.
It's really fascinating to me how I saw that you were coming on the show, and I said, let me look into this a little bit, because I don't really know much about veganism other than what's, you know, whatever you absorb in pop culture, but never really looked into it. And I thought it was kind of funny, and it must be frustrating for you sometimes to see that in some ways it gets into drama. It gets into drama where you have like the meat associations will publish an article that's saying, you know, veganism causes brain atrophy. and you'll start seeing the little drama. Is that something that frustrates you, or do you find it humorous?
Well, maybe neither. I think I just find it natural. It's the way life is. Just a few days ago, an independent study in one of the scientific journals came out saying that the more meat people eat, the more obese they tend to be. Well, the meat institutes and that were very upset, and they came out with their counterattack, which is perfectly normal. People are trying to defend their way of life, their way that they make a living, and their belief system. And I think sometimes when we run into arguments with people about things like food choices, lifestyle choices, it's largely philosophical. You know, something seems right to you, and so that's what you do. What is fascinating me right now is the huge number of people who are looking at eating plants, loving animals, honoring the earth, and treating their bodies well. Great, huge, gigantic numbers of people and all these celebrities. I mean, we get a new celebrity every week. We just got Rosie O'Donnell, who switched after her heart attack. We got Ted Danson a few weeks ago. They're just coming up out of the woodwork because there's something here, and I'm really happy to have some ideas for people who find it interesting.
It's like a religion. You have conversions.
Well, you know, it is a little
after
bit like that.
Life-changing experiences, yeah. You see people who had these life-changing experiences, and then suddenly they're like, well, maybe this is it. It's so funny to say that there's an article that the more meat you eat, the more you tend to be obese. It's, at some point, you got to realize, even someone who eats meat, I'm somebody who eats meat, but an article like that, you might as well write someone that says, you know, the more you stand outside in the rain, the more wet you get. I mean, some of it's... It's silly. Did you find it? It was long ago for you, but do you find for yourself or for any clients you may have or friends even, is the initial conversion a difficult process? Do you get meat withdrawals? I mean, how does it work?
Well, it depends on how much you want it and how committed you are. It seems to be easiest either for people who have a real heart for the animals. I mean, I spent a day in a slaughterhouse. I've been to factory farms. I know what goes on and how the meat, the eggs, the dairy products get to us. And for somebody who has a sense of the sentience of other beings, that other beings, we know for certain, those with spinal columns, they feel just like we feel. So somebody who has that sense can make the transition really easily, because maybe they're in an airport and they're not seeing any food that they can eat easily available, and they say, this is really annoying. But then they think, I'm annoyed, that animal is suffering, and so I'd rather have my annoyance. So it's easy for people that get that ethical piece. I think it's also easy for people who were really sick. We know that Bill Clinton is eating this way now because he had the bypass, and then he had to have a stent, and then the stent closed up, and now he's eating a vegan diet. And if it's to save your life a day at a time, you're going to be really, really motivated. So for people who are just kind of interested, it's a little bit tougher simply because the world isn't set up for people who eat fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and nuts and seeds, and all the various combinations of fabulous ethnic foods and great specialties that you can make out of those plant-based foods. It is acultural, but you feel so good that for a lot of people, that is enough to get them from day to day.
Well, yeah, you know, you see, and even in the feedback that I'm getting in the show, and folks were speaking to the brilliant Victoria Moran, she's an international best-selling author. Website is mainstreetvegan.net. That's mainstreetvegan.net. If you're listening through our website, just click on Victoria's name. It'll take you right to mainstreetvegan.net. You know, as the feedback I'm getting is something that happens with all things that are trendy, and in our society you get used to going in and getting food for a reasonable price, and you notice how expensive or how much more expensive it is to eat healthier, to eat organic or something that wasn't processed. Is this something that you hear often as well?
I do, and I hear it much more now than I ever did. In the old days, people would say, well, at least it's cheap. You know, I may not agree with you, but at least you're saving more money on your food bill than I am. And now it's kind of the opposite. People say, well, isn't that expensive? And I think there are two reasons that they think that. One is all the celebrities. They figure, well, if Leonardo DiCaprio is doing it and Ellen DeGeneres is doing it, it must be expensive. And what I say is, if you were eating Kobe beef and caviar when you were an omnivore, then you can have a nice, expensive vegan diet if you want that. But if you were just eating the regular food that most people do, then that's what you're going to do as a vegan. So that's one thing. And I think the other thing is we have all of these vegan convenience foods now. When I started out, you couldn't even get soy milk. You had to order this powder from a guy in Ohio and trust it was soy and not talcum powder. I mean, it was really, really different. And now there's all this food available. There's a cheese, Daiya cheese, that actually melts, so you can have pizza and grilled cheese if you like that kind of thing. There's a tofurkey, you know, for Thanksgiving time. There's all kinds of ice cream and tofu scrambler. And so some of these processed foods do cost more, but to really, really be healthy, you want to be having fewer processed foods anyway. And beans and rice are as cheap as you can get.
So what do you think that as it's gaining popularity, what do you think this the proverbial 100th monkey is for veganism? Do you think it's just the first generation of mainstream vegans when they start living to a ripe old age and still looking good and still having their wits about them? Do you think that's really what's going to push it over that 100th monkey?
Well, I hope that that's it, because that's a wonderful, positive way to look at it. I would hope that it would not be that things get so bad with the environment that everybody is forced into living this way when they don't necessarily want to. Something came out from one of the environmental institutes last week that by, I think the year was 2080, I'm not sure on the year, I'm not good at numbers, but that simply because of water usage and the tremendous amount of water that it takes to raise animals for food, that almost everybody is going to have to be vegan. And then, of course, there's global warming. There was a 2006 UN study that said that animal agriculture causes more global warming gases to go out into the atmosphere than all transportation combined. And the interesting thing about that is that the greenhouse gas that you get mostly from animal agriculture is methane, which would leave the atmosphere very quickly if, in theory, we stopped raising animals for food. Within 10 years, that degree of those gases would dissipate, where if everybody stopped driving overnight, it would take 100 years for the CO2 to dissipate. So hopefully the world will get veganized just because people look good and feel good and love it, and not because we're forced into it by tragedies.
You're in New York City. Is it pretty easy to find a farmer's market there?
Oh, very, very easy. We have farmers markets all over. I live in Harlem. There's one in Marcus Garvey Park, just a block away from me. And, of course, we've got the big classic farmers market in Union Square. But it's really easy to eat this way anywhere. I mean, I've lived a lot of places. When I first went vegan, I was living in the suburbs of Chicago. I lived in a little cabin in the central Missouri Ozarks eating this way. I've lived in Kansas City, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It works, and I've traveled the world. I've been in Tibet and Nepal and France. You know, France is a little bit harder than some of the other places because they put butter in everything. But it's not impossible at all, and it's kind of challenging and it's kind of fun. There's a wonderful site called Happy Cow, happycow.net, and they'll tell you wherever you are where there are vegan restaurants and health food stores. And plus ethnic food, it's very easy to eat, whether you're going to an Asian restaurant or Ethiopian or Italian, because most of the cuisines of the world have a lot of vegetarian food. Sometimes this is a religious history thing in countries where there's been a large Mahayana Buddhist influence. The monks invented all these pretend meat-like dishes, and sometimes just at a regular Chinese restaurant you can get mock duck that's made out of a tofu skin. In Ethiopia, they take Lent very seriously, so for 6 weeks of the year, the whole country is vegetarian, so they have really great vegetarian cuisine. And then there's just so much for vegans and vegetarians these days in terms of restaurants and recipes. It's a good time to eat plants.
Is a good time to eat plants. Do you think that our education level and our, I guess you would say, our spiritual level or enlightenment level, whatever, folks, you know what I'm trying to say. Do you think that level, the higher we get in those levels, the more we tend to lean towards veganism?
Well, you know, I actually think so. I wouldn't want to use a term like higher, because that implies that I think that people who don't eat the way I do are lower, and it's not like that, because I think we all get things at different times. Like, I was very fortunate to be introduced to vegetarianism, and that's just not eating meat and fish but still having eggs and dairy, when I was 17 years old and started reading yoga books, and then the veganism came a little bit later. But there are so many other things that I didn't get that early and came on to them later. So somebody else is maybe a really great meditator, and then somebody else has gotten the food piece. But I do find that when these ideas, these spiritual ideas, touch you anywhere, they touch you everywhere. And when you're willing to open the door to this one and really think about particularly the involvement of the animals and what they go through, and also how this creates your physical form. Some of the writers of the 1800s, I'm thinking Charles Fillmore, who founded the Unity Church, and there were many others, at that time, writing in a very strident fashion was what they did. And he and others wrote very, very in embroidered fashion about taking into your body, making your body the tomb of a murdered beast. In other words, how are you going to create the cellular structure that is ready for the sort of spiritual growth that you want? So there has been a lot of information over the past couple hundred years about spirituality and eating as a vegetarian or a vegan. In fact, Pythagoras, the great Greek philosopher and mathematician, would only take a student who was willing to first fast for 40 days and then agree to what today we would call a raw vegan diet, because he believed that was the only way to keep the brain clear enough to absorb the kind of information that he wanted to impart.
So with this information, as you, and I agree with you, I think that the closer you get, I forgot her name, folks, but you remember when I had the woman who wrote the Skinny Bastard was the male.
Oh,
one.
Yeah, well, Rory. Did you have Rory,
Rory
or Kim?
Yeah.
Oh, Rory is lovely. She's so delightful.
Yeah, she was fantastic. This was a couple of years ago, and she was right. I mean, the closer you got to eating food, I think the way she said it was food as it looks in its natural habitat. Like, eat it when it looks like that, and it's going to be great. And she was absolutely right. When you think about how much clearer your thoughts are, I know it doesn't make sense to me. When I would hear her say it, or James Redfield would come on and say it, I'd say, how can it affect your thinking? But you know what? It affects your thinking. It's actually your thoughts feel more clear. And
yeah.
it really is a fascinating thing. Now, when we get back, folks, I promise I'll get to your feedback when we get back. I do want to do one because it's not a question. And it actually comes from Maria. Maria's in San Antonio, Texas, and she writes, Steve, I love Victoria Moran. I got turned on to her when you had her on the show a while back. She spoke about her Charmed Life book, absolutely life-changing. Looked at her website, and whatever makes her look the way she does, I'm in. Please give her big hugs from me. So I wanted to share that one.
Oh, thanks,
you.
Maria. That's very generous.
So what comes along with this? What comes along with, don't we get things from meat that we can't get from vegetables? Do you have to take extra vitamins, or is this just me not knowing what I'm talking about?
The only vitamin that is not reliably found in the plant kingdom is vitamin B12. Vitamin B12 is very unique as vitamins go in that it's made from bacteria. So if we were eating our vegetables the way the gorillas eat theirs, with all the dirt from the ground, then we'd be fine with B12 because we'd be getting it from the dirt. But since we don't do that, a vegan definitely needs to be supplementing vitamin B12. Now, interestingly enough, according to the National Institutes of Health, everybody over 50 should be supplementing vitamin B12 because it's difficult to extract from the animal foods. But absolutely, if you're vegan, you need vitamin B12. Other than that, you're going to get everything that you need to be getting from food. There are a couple other supplements that vegans like to take. One is an omega-3 fatty acid supplement from algae. A lot of people are eating fish or taking fish oil capsules to get the omega-3. And so I take the algae omega-3, happy to be doing that. And then I also take vitamin D. I'd be doing that if I was a meat eater as well, because that's not a vitamin that we get in food. We're supposed to get it from being out in the sun, but I happen to live in New York, and I stay out of the sun because I like to keep my skin nice. So you want to get your vitamin D levels checked, and if you need to be supplementing that, then that's good too. But it's not as if we're standing in the kitchen all day swallowing pills, because the food, particularly if you're eating whole plant foods, lots of greens, lots of beautiful, bright-colored vegetables and fruits, you're going to do great.
And that's something that I had thought. I mean, for a long time, whenever I'd hear about vegans, I would think, wow, they're eating plants and stuff, but they're probably buying all kinds of vitamins how can you stay strong? But I mean, I read now, I follow sports, and I read now mixed martial artists, bodybuilders that are vegans, absolutely vegans, and just animals. I mean, rough as animals. And you make the great point. I mean, a gorilla, I mean, that's famously strong, eats vegetables all day long. I mean,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, my daughter just got back from Africa, and it was really brought home to her that the great big beings that you have to watch out for, the hippos and the rhinos, they eat plants. And the animals that we have hitched to chariots and Budweiser trucks, you know, for as long as we've been around, they're plant eaters. There's something else interesting about plant eaters versus omnivores. There's a researcher at Harvard. His name is Dr. Rudolf Tanzi, and he was on the committee that first showed the genes responsible for Alzheimer's. And he points out that every animal who lives long enough will develop Alzheimer's pathology except herbivores. So he himself has become a vegetarian, which is really revolutionary because these researchers are supposed to be removed from the research. They're supposed to observe and report. But he actually said, no, this is too good. I'm going to do this for myself.
It's really fascinating. I really think that the more information, just in the little time when I saw, Victoria Moran's coming on, let me look this stuff up a little bit. Just in that little time, I said, wow, did I know absolutely nothing? And second, it seems that the research is there. There is some powerful, powerful research supporting this kind of living. And I'm super excited to have you on talking about this. Folks, we're speaking with Victoria Moran. Victoria is an internationally best-selling author. She's the author of Creating a Charmed Life. We've had her on the show before. Her new book is Main Street Vegan. Check out mainstreetvegan.net. That's mainstreetvegan.net. And don't worry, I know the show's going fast, but we still have a whole segment left with Victoria. When we get back, I promise you I'll get to some of your feedback. Also, I want you to know while we're on break, check out mainstreetvegan.net. That's mainstreetvegan.net. And if you're liking this, if you're feeling informed and inspired and empowered, send somebody that link, mainstreetvegan.net. Go to Amazon or wherever you buy your books and maybe get them a gift copy. This is a beautiful, beautiful conversation with an incredible woman, Victoria Moran. MainStreetVegan.net. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll get to some of your feedback. And I have requests for the Neil deGrasse Tyson break. So we're going to take a break. Neil deGrasse Tyson, you're listening to Empowered Living. Don't move.
What is the most astounding fact you can share with us about the universe?
The most astounding fact.
The most astounding fact.
Is the knowledge that the atoms that comprise life on Earth, the atoms that make up the human body, are traceable to the crucibles that cooked light elements into heavy elements in their core under extreme temperatures and pressures. These stars, the high mass ones among them, went unstable in their later years. They collapsed and then exploded, scattering their enriched guts across the galaxy. Guts made of carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and all the fundamental ingredients of life itself. These ingredients become part of gas clouds that condense, collapse, form the next generation of solar systems, stars with orbiting planets. And those planets now have the ingredients for life itself. So that when I look up at the night sky, and I know that, yes, we are part of this universe, we are in this universe, but perhaps more important and both of those facts is that the universe is in us. When I reflect on that fact, I look up. Many people feel small because they're small and the universe is big, but I feel big. Because My atoms came from those stars. There's a level of connectivity. That's really what you want in life. You want to feel connected. You want to feel relevant. You want to feel like you're a participant in the goings-on of activities and events around you. That's precisely what we are, just by being alive.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Hey, check out everything we're doing. You can check out stevemaraboli.com. We're at every single show we've done is at empoweredlivingradio.com. Let me see what else we got. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, Pinterest. What else, everybody? Oh, YouTube. Yes, YouTube. We're on YouTube. Check us out. Everything that we do is 100% free. The only thing that we ask is that you share. You share, you empower, and you inspire others. You participate. You participate not only in your journey, but in the journey of everyone else around you. We're, like Dr. King said, you know, either we go up together or we go down together. I choose up. So let's do that. We're having a great conversation with Victoria Moran. Victoria Moran is an international best-selling author of Creating a Charmed Life. Her new book is Main Street Vegan. That's Main Street Vegan. Check out her website, mainstreetvegan.net. That's mainstreetvegan.net. And we're taking your feedback. Victoria, I got actually this question. I got a bunch in a bunch of different forms, so I'm just going to ask you, and thank you everyone who's writing about this. Soy protein. The soy protein increasing estrogen levels in women. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's very misunderstood, and I'll try to describe it or explain it as I understand it, having talked to a whole lot of dietitians and physicians about this. There are some people who are very, very down on soy, and they've pretty much waged a war about it. So there's a lot of information in the popular press that isn't really based on the science. So yes, soybeans and other kinds of plant foods too. You know, we talk about flaxseed and chia seed as being so great. Well, they also have this very thing that a lot of people are down on about soy, and that's called phytoestrogens. And phyto means plants, so this is a kind of estrogen found in plants. And so those phytoestrogens will grab on to the receptors waiting for natural estrogen. And so some people will say, oh my goodness, this is going to feminize men, this is going to cause breast cancer and all these kinds of things, when in fact what the science shows is that those phytoestrogens actually block the xenoestrogens, which are the artificial estrogens that we're getting from all the plastics that are in our environment and also from the pesticides and herbicides, and can actually have a protective effect against estrogen-dependent cancers and so forth. Now, the problem is that in this country, we tend to overdo everything. And so I don't think it's a great idea to eat soy protein isolate in protein powder. You mentioned some of the bodybuilders and that. That's just too isolated. That's like saying, Is it okay to put poppy seeds on my muffins? Well, sure. Is it okay to shoot up heroin? I would say no, because there's something about just isolating a single property from anything that is not so great. So the way I see it, unless you're allergic to soy, obviously, then you would stay away from it. But for most people, some of it is great. A little bit here and there, edamame, miso, tempeh, these are completely whole foods. Tofu is pretty close to a whole food. Have some soy 3 or 4 times a week, probably not 3 or 4 times a day.
Now this is an ongoing scientific conversation that's happening. Are there people saying that this is feminizing or causing cancer? Is this a concern that science is there trying to quell the concern?
They are absolutely looking at this. The overwhelming majority of the research says that soy is actually protective, but in excess, it might be problematic. So as Reed Mangels, who is a wonderful PhD dietitian, says, in reality, soy is neither the cure for all the chronic diseases that plague an affluent society, nor is it a food that should be avoided. Soy foods can certainly add variety to a vegetarian diet, and they do offer some health benefits, but they should be a part of the diet, not the foundation for it.
Oh, I love it. I love how much feedback there is. People just asking so many questions. I'm loving it, too, because I'm learning so much. Doris is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she writes, Steve, this is the year of the empowered woman, and again, you have another great guest. I love everything Victoria does, and I love the way she carries herself, even in her social media. Thank you for having her on. Could you please ask her to speak about veganism during pregnancy? Thank you, and big hugs from North Carolina.
Oh, hey, thanks, Doris. Yeah, it is so fabulous to see vegan babies and vegan children because, for one thing, they're not being poisoned. When we think about the biointensification and biomagnification of how when you eat animal products, unless they're absolutely certified organic, you're getting more of a buildup of the pesticides and the herbicides than if you were eating just conventionally raised produce. You've also got this clean diet going into the baby. You're eating lots and lots of greens, so you're getting tons of folate. You know that pregnant women and women who are looking to get pregnant are told to supplement folic acid so that there's enough folate for the baby and for the development of the spinal cord and that. And yet now they're finding that women who take folic acid supplements tend to have more breast cancer because folic acid is the artificial form of folate, which if you're a whole foods vegan or a whole foods other person who just eats lots and lots of greens and vegetables, you're getting that just the way it comes. So obviously as a pregnant woman, you're going to need more food. It's kind of like the bodybuilders. Pregnant women and bodybuilders have very similar diets. So you'll need more food, you'll need more calories, you'll need more fat, you'll need more protein. It certainly doesn't mean going out and eating meat. The other thing that's so wonderful about raising a child this way is that kids get it about the animals. Once they realize where meat comes from, once they realize that milk was provided by a mom for her baby and somebody took the baby away from the mom so that milk could go to humans, children do not like this at all. And when you can tell them the truth from the beginning, you raise a really remarkable human being.
When you put it that way, I've never thought of it that way. Wow, great. That's a great thing to say. Oh, I love this, folks. We're speaking with Victoria Moran, always teaching you something, always sharing her insight and wisdom. She's the author of Main Street Vegan. The website is mainstreetvegan.net. Hey, Miguel, this is a great question. Miguel's in San Diego. And Miguel writes, hey, Steve, I would like to talk about moods. My wife became vegan a couple of years ago. I joined her about 6 months after she started because I noticed she was less moody and always in a better mood. I wanted to feel the way that she felt and happy the way she was happy. I joined and I feel the same way. Is this a psychological thing in our family, or has Victoria noticed this happening with others as well? Hugs from San Diego.
Miguel, not only have I noticed it, but there's actually scientific data supporting it. A study came out a couple of months ago that vegetarians have less depression than meat eaters. Now, and they have not said exactly why this is, what it is nutrient-wise or that, but I had a very interesting guest on my podcast a couple of weeks ago. His name is Mark Bronstein. He wrote a book called Radical Vegetarianism, and he talked about how eating as a vegan or vegetarian causes the fear of death to diminish over time, which is really fascinating.
Wow.
Because we do take in the fear poisons. I mean, I, as I said, spent a day at a slaughterhouse. These animals are absolutely horrified because they can smell the blood, they can hear the screams, they know what's going on. And when we eat the flesh from these animals, we're taking those fear poisons into our body. So maybe this is why we're going to have a little more anxiety, a little more edginess than people who are eating wonderful foods from the plant kingdom. And, of course, you're also just getting so many nutrients. Magnesium, we know, is a real calmer, and you're getting a lot of that from the grains, the beans, and the vegetables. I'm just so happy that you were astute enough to notice that with your wife. I've heard people sometimes will say when their partner starts to meditate, they notice that so much that they join in the meditation, and it's cool that you've joined in the vegan diet.
I noticed that when I switched to a higher percentage of greens and vegetables in my own diet, that what increased for me was, again, clarity of thought, but also energy. I felt like I needed to sleep less and I had more energy. Is that another thing that you notice as well?
Oh, absolutely. When you're eating a whole foods vegan diet, now some people, they care about the animals, and so they just switch to a kind of junk food vegan diet. I met a lovely young man in Chicago a few months ago, and he said, "This is so easy. I eat everything just like I always did. If I want pizza, I have vegan pizza. If I want a chili cheese dog, I have a vegan chili cheese dog." And I thought, here's this beautiful young man, 22 years old, works out. He is at the one time of life where for a few years he can do that and he'll feel great and be fine. But one of these days he's going to realize that, you know, you need to be a vegetable-eating vegetarian, not just a starchitarian, what can I find in the middle of the market aisles at Whole Foods that's really yummy. So, yeah, when you are eating a Whole Foods plant-based diet, your energy goes through the roof, and you fall asleep at the drop of a hat, and you stay young forever. That's the other thing. The longevity, and even more than that, living youthfully into later life is absolutely extraordinary. There's so many examples of this. There's a wonderful woman, Mimi Kirk, who has a book called Live Raw. She was PETA's sexiest vegetarian over 50, except she wasn't just over 50, she was 71. Absolutely gorgeous. It's really wonderful to go to these vegetarian conferences that I've been attending since the 70s and see these people year after year and think, oh my goodness, we do well.
What about your sexual mojo?
When you feel fabulous about yourself, you're going to feel better with a partner, and you're going to be much more interested in being sexual on into your life. Now, particularly for men, they really need to look at going vegan if the mojo is just not quite where it ought to be, because according to scientific research, the same clogging of arteries that if it goes to the brain, you'll have a stroke, if it goes to the heart, you'll have a heart attack, if it goes to the penis, you will have no erection and no fun. So on a plant-based diet, that is going to be taken care of. Just as those arteries are clearing, that's going to prevent a heart attack later on, the arteries to the reproductive organs are also going to clear. And interestingly enough, there's also a connection between a plant-based diet and a lesser incidence of prostate cancer. There's a slight connection for somebody who goes vegetarian or vegan as an adult, and there is a tremendous correlation for men who were raised vegan as children.
So, and you had mentioned earlier, and it really caught my ear, that you had said that not only does veganism tend to stop the building of this stuff in your arteries, but it actually has a correlation in the reversal of it?
Well, that's what's so exciting. Until the late 1980s, it was absolutely believed as fact that once you have the atherosclerosis, once you've got that hard plaque in your arteries, there's absolutely nothing that you can do about it. You're stuck with it. But the work of Dr. Dean Ornish showed that what he used was a low-fat, vegetarian, almost vegan diet, yoga, mild exercise, and group support. And he showed through PET scans that that arterial plaque could actually reverse. He was the first to show that. Then, simultaneously, Dr. Esselstyn was working at the Cleveland Clinic using diet alone, and he showed that the same thing could happen. His study went on for 17 years. The people that were in it had had numerous heart attacks before starting the study. They had none during this time of the study because their heart disease was, in fact, reversing.
There's so much great information out. Now, Main Street Vegan not only discusses, but you also offer recipes.
Yeah, I have a recipe at the end of each chapter. You know, Steve, I actually wrote this book because of a spiritual experience. I went to an animal rights fundraiser, and they showed some videos, and I've been seeing this stuff for decades, but for some reason my heart was just extra open that night. And all I wanted to do was just write them a check for $100,000, but it would have bounced, so I knew I had to do something different. And in the subway on the way home, I guess I was kind of talking to God, and I was just given, your next book is supposed to be called Main Street Vegan. It's supposed to appeal to just people out there in the world who think this is kind of interesting, but maybe they've never met a vegan, or they don't know if their kids will grow, or they don't know about it. So you want to do it in a way that's going to be very conversational and friendly. You're going to be talking to that person out in Kansas City, like I was a person in Kansas City when I was first getting introduced to this. And then I also was given, in my little spiritual experience, it's supposed to be 40 chapters that are short, and you want to put an easy, delicious recipe at the end of each one. So that's exactly what we've got.
Do you find that people will go, I'm starting at 80%.
Oh, absolutely.
70% vegan.
Yes, and that's one of the things that I talk about. The idea is to get on the path to this, and I offer lots of different ways to do it. Now, my very favorite is the day-at-a-time plan, because that's how the alcoholics sober up in AA. It's not like what I'm going to have a week from Thursday. It's just today. And so today, you can eat plant-based meals and snacks until you go to bed, and then you have another day. So if you want to do it cold tofu, that's a great way to go. Or you can do it in stages. A lot of research has shown that people who make a small change and stay with that till they're comfortable and then make the next incremental change are more likely to stay with it forever after. So there are all kinds of ways to do it. It's just the idea. You just want to step on the moving stairway. You just want to be knowing that you're moving in the direction of more plants, fewer animals, lots of greens. Green is God's favorite color.
More plants, fewer animals, lots of greens. How does this affect, and I'm kind of going off a few of the feedbacks that mention the growing concern and wheat issues. Is there a cross in there at all, folks who have issues with wheat and veganism?
Oh, sure. You know, I don't eat wheat. I do not have celiac disease. I just don't feel good when I get much wheat gluten. Now, I can eat spelt, which is a gluten-containing grain, but it hasn't been as hybridized as the wheat. So a lot of the problem with wheat may well be the way the wheat is these days. Some people have come up with an old strain of wheat that was just found, I think, in France, and they're making pasta out of it. And a lot of people who are just a little bit sensitive to modern wheat can eat that. So, but even if you're celiac, even if you cannot touch anything containing gluten whatsoever, you can still be a vegan. I have a chapter in Main Street Vegan that's called Eat Soy and Wheat, or Skip One or Both of Them. You see, the plant kingdom is so vast that just because you're skipping something or something else or something and something and something else, it doesn't mean that there's not just enormity out there for a very varied, very nutritious, very delicious way to eat. It's just that in this country, we eat a lot of wheat. So the idea of not having that and not having animal products, it seems like, oh my goodness, there wouldn't be anything left. But there is. There's lots and lots and lots left. If you think about the five fitness food groups, and those are vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, nuts and seeds, if you're gluten-free, you're skipping a few of the grains. You're not going to have wheat or rye or spelt, a couple of the others. But there's so much left. Even in the grain category, you've got quinoa and farro and brown rice, all kinds of things, millet. And a lot of people don't eat grains at all. I mean, the raw fooders, some of them will sprout some grains. Most of them don't eat any grains. So you just want to expand in those areas where the food is good to you and good for you and just leave alone the things that don't work.
Hey, I love this. This is coming from Travis. Travis is in Toronto. He said, Steve, you had Victoria on a while back, and during the show, it just came up in conversation that she had made herself a delicious-sounding salad. I want her to know that from that day forward, I have also been a vegan. She changed my life. It seems to me that here in Toronto and maybe in surrounding Canadian cities, it doesn't seem as big. Does she, with her finger on the pulse of veganism, does she see it spreading faster to places outside of the U.S.?
Oh, absolutely. All over. There's a fabulous raw vegan restaurant in Reykjavik, Iceland. This just says a lot. But the biggest vegetarian festival in the world happens in Toronto, and it's actually happening this weekend. And I will be there on Sunday speaking at 1:30 at the Harborfront Center. So if you can make it to Toronto Vegetarian Food Festival, you can just Google it and get all the information and come hear me Sunday at 1:30.
In your city, Travis. If her talking about making a salad change your life, get there Sunday and bring everybody you know to that festival in Toronto. I think that is fascinating. I think that it's great I want to say a marketing standpoint, but I don't mean it in a marketing standpoint as much as I mean it in a social and cultural standpoint, that you do have a lot of folks writing about this, books like yours, Main Street Vegan, and highlighting the celebrities and the successful people who are following this diet. Because I think in many ways, I'm not sure exactly of the history of meat eating, but culturally and socially, you know, it was eating meat and eating other animals was a sign of wealth. I mean, there are many, many poor folks all over the world and in the United States who grew up vegans, not because they were vegans, they just didn't have the money to eat meat, and it became a cultural thing to maybe you could put some steak on the table, or kings and queens, they would sacrifice animals and they would eat the animals. I think that it's great for veganism to get that social concept flipped around, to say, look, no, it's an astute, educated, and informed move to increase these, to decrease your eating of meat and to increase the grains. It is an educated and informed move. I think that is a brilliant thing that they're doing.
Why, thank you.
I'm trying to sort through this stuff. I can't believe we've been on for almost 55 minutes already. I'm trying to get to as much as possible. Let's go with Lucy. And Lucy's in Seattle, Washington. She writes, Steve, excellent show as always. I want to do a family vegan thing, coming from a family who will think we are all nuts for trying this, but I would love to get my husband and kids into this veganism. How do I make it fun and not seem so, in quotes, she puts, diety?
Absolutely. Well, having fabulous food is the best way to convert anybody. Even if it's an office situation, you make some wonderful chocolate chip cookies and you don't say, they're vegan. You just put little 3x5 cards there with the recipe on it and people will notice, oh, wow, there's no eggs in these. Gosh, they're really good. And in terms of a family, you kind of do a combination one thing is to celebrate food just the way it comes. Steve mentioned farmers markets earlier, to just make a really big deal of the first strawberries in the springtime. And now we're coming into fall, and there are going to be all the wonderful root vegetables and pumpkins and things like that that you don't get the rest of the year. And to just make a big deal about how good they are, because they really are good. And lots of times when people say, I don't think I like vegan food, they don't mean that they don't like peanut butter or that they don't like apples. They mean that they don't like yeast-encrusted seitan or whatever they think vegan food is. So you want to really celebrate the food that comes up out of the ground because it's so pretty. I mean, when I was living in the Ozarks, I went grocery shopping the first time, and the woman behind the counter just stopped the belt, and she looked at me, and she said, I've had this job 15 years, and I've never seen such pretty groceries. So that's what you want, pretty groceries. Then you want to make the kind of food that they're used to and just veganize it. Lasagna works really well. There's tons of recipes online. You can do all kinds of things like burritos. You can do Italian food. You can do the kinds of foods that your family likes and just make them vegan, and you don't even have to mention it. They'll get it over time. And then in terms of kids, when they ask you questions and you tell them, not in any horrible graphic way, I don't mean, you know, you go online and you find some horrible slaughterhouse expose video and make your kids watch it, but you just say, you know what, I didn't know before, but doing this is really mean to animals, and we don't want to be mean to animals, and your kids will probably carry the banner and come up with the recipe for tomorrow's dinner.
Oh, I love it. Victoria, it's always an honor to have you on the show. I am a fan. I'm honored to be able to speak with you, and I thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your insights, your research, your wisdom, your incredible energy with all of our listeners. It's so greatly appreciated.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor.
Folks, I want to make sure you know that you can check out MainStreetVegan.net. That's MainStreetVegan.net. Victoria Moran is international best-selling author. She wrote Creating a Charmed Life. You want to check out that book. It's definitely on my sanity bookshelf. And check out the new one, MainStreetVegan.net. Something I don't usually ask of you that I want to ask of you before we go. If you're inspired by what Victoria said and you're going to start making these changes in your diet, I want you to email me. Email us at empoweredlivingradio.com. Because I, too, am making adjustments, and I want to do all let's do this together, and let's compare notes and share stories, and you can be sure that I'll forward some to Victoria. I think that in the small amount of research that I've done, and there are few people I would listen to in this world, a few people, Victoria Moran's one of them, and there is something here. There is something here. There is research. There is science. There is proof. There's proof. There's some incredible people who are making these adjustments. I want to continue to make adjustments in how I'm eating, and this seems like a great place to inform yourself and start. So if you're jumping in, I want you to share with me. Send us emails and let us know what you're up to, and let's get something going with this. Let other people know about Main Street Vegan. Let them know about MainStreetVegan.net. Tell them about this incredible woman that we just listened to for an hour, Victoria Moran. She is incredible. You think that she's just good at this? Listen back to a show when we talked about creating a charmed life. We've had her on a few times. She is brilliant, and she lives it. It's always an honor. That's going to be it for us today. Make sure you check out MainStreetVegan.net. That's MainStreetVegan.net. And, of course, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, The Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. You can check out our websites at stevemaraboli.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. More importantly, success, peace, health isn't something you have. It's something you do. It's something you experience when you live accordingly. You've been thinking about this stuff. You know how synchronicity works. You've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it. We just had an incredible person on talking about it and sharing the tools to make this conversion. Let's stop just talking about it. Let's do it. Get out there and participate. Get out there and live. Live this way. You got to be it to see it. Get out there and do it. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.